Welcome to Torati Mecha Haftorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malko Winter, and this week, Parshas Devarim, we read from Sefer Yeshayahu, chapter 1, verses 1 to 27. This Shabbos is known as Shabbos Chazon. It is named after the opening word of our Haftorah, Chazon, a vision. It is the final Haftorah of the 3 weeks, and this year, Shabbos falls out on the very day before Tisha B'Av. Yeshayahu's cry of Chazon feels a little like the early warning siren, something that has unfortunately become part of daily life for those living in Eretz Yisrael. That sound, the alert, that gives minutes, sometimes up to 10, 15, even 20 minutes of notice before a missile falls, that has become so tragically familiar to us all. It is not just a warning of a possible threat. It means something has already been launched, it is in the air, and unless something intercepts it, it will fall. Yeshayahu's vision is like that siren. Though he lived more than 100 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, as we're told in Pasuk Aleph, his prophecy spans the reigns of Uzziahu, Yosam, Ahaz, and Chizkiyahu. His words carry the urgency of something already set in motion. The destruction may feel distant, but the danger is present and real. This chazon is not a vague prediction. It is the spiritual early warning system. In Medrash Eicha, there is a haunting message. Shlosha nisnabu bilashon Eicha, Moshe, Yeshayahu, v'Yirmiyahu. Three prophesied with the language of Eicha. How? Moshe, Yeshaya, and Yirmiya. Moshe said, Eicha esa levadi. How can I alone bear the burden? Yeshayahu said, Eicha haisa lazona. How has she become like a harlot? And Yirmiyahu said, Eicha yashva badad. How does she sit in solitude? The Medrash offers a parable. A noblewoman had three friends. One saw her in her glory, one saw her in her unfaithfulness, and one saw her in her disgrace. So too Moshe saw B'nai Yisrael in their peace, Yeshayahu saw them in their state of betrayal, and Yirmiyahu saw her in her desolation. The word Eicha holds so much. The entire tragedy of our national decline, our failure and fall, can be traced through that one word. And when Yeshayahu says it, you can feel the heartbreak. He is not speaking in vague terms about a distant threat. He is standing in the present, fully aware of where this path is leading, and he's crying out. The Abar Benel explains that all four kings mentioned in the first pasuk are not just setting the time frame. They each received this message. Yeshayahu repeated the nevuah in every reign, again and again he tried to call the people back. Many commentaries discuss the context of this prophecy. The greatest calamity, the northern kingdom's exile, the exile of the 10 tribes, took place during Yeshayahu's lifetime. And although he is primarily addressing Yehuda and Yerushalayim, his message is clear. Look what happened to your brothers. Don't let it happen to you. They were with us, part of us, just moments ago. Their fall is not some ancient legend. It's current events. Their behavior led to their own undoing. Don't follow the same path. Let's look now at Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Shimu shamayim v'ha'azini eretz, ki Hashem diber, banim gidalti v'romamti v'heim pashu bi. Listen, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Hashem has spoken. I raised and exalted children, and they rebelled against me. If this reminds you of Parshas Ha'azinu, you're right. Many commentators note the echo. In Ha'azinu, Moshe calls on the heavens and earth to serve as eternal witnesses, warning of the consequences if B'nai Yisrael abandon Hashem. Now, in Yeshayahu's time, that's what's tragically happening. The rebellion, the sinning, the cause of the punishment is right here. So the same witnesses are summoned. In the next verse, Yeshayahu offers a stunning rebuke. Even an ox knows its master, and a donkey its trough. But Yisrael does not know. My people do not understand. Rashi explains that an ox knows its master, but a donkey only knows its trough. But even this is a level. Bnei Yisrael have nothing. Hashem gave us the Torah, told us who we are to be for Him. We are Avdei Hashem, servants of Hashem. And He fed us. Hashem gave us man from heaven. He raised us, redeemed us, gave us purpose, but we turn away. Even a donkey knows where its food comes from, and we do not. And then in verse 4, Yeshayahu uses four titles for the nation. Goy, Am, Zera, Banim, a people, a nation, a seed, children. The Malbim explains this as an ascending scale of closeness. We're not just a people, we are Hashem's nation, His descendants, His beloved children. But what follows is devastating. Hoy goy chote, am keved avon, zera mirayim, banim mashchisim. Oh, sinful nation, a people heavy with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who corrupt themselves. Here, the sins descend from chet, unintentional mistakes, to avon, intentional sin out of desire, to mere'im, habitual wrongdoing, to mashchisim, destruction for its own sake, sin with no justification at all. The contrast is terrible. The four titles of closeness are met with four levels of failure. The deeper the relationship, the more tragic the betrayal. And then comes a harrowing section. We hear about suffering, deep, ongoing, and senseless. Alme tuku o tosifu sara mikaf regel vaad rosh ein bo misom. Why do you keep getting hit again and again? The whole body is bruised, head to toe. Why does the pain keep coming? Why don't we stop and ask what it means? Hashem is begging us. Look what is happening. Stop being numb. Look and notice. Your land is desolate. Your cities are burning. You are isolated, exhausted, hurt. And if not for Hashem's mercy, Yeshayahu says, you would be like Sodom and Amorah, wiped out completely. It's horrifying. But what's even more horrifying is what comes next. Because Hashem doesn't just compare us to Sodom and Amorah's destruction. He calls us Sodom and Amorah. Shimu dvar Hashem kitzine Sodom. Ha'azinu toras Elokeinu am Amorah. Listen to the word of Hashem, you officers of Sodom. Hear the Torah of our God, you people of Amorah. Because of our corruption and cruelty, Hashem says, you are Sodom and Amorah. How did we get here? How did we become so corrupt, so cruel, so indifferent? Because, and here Yeshayahu makes it painfully clear, we think we're religious, but we're not behaving morally. We come to the Beis HaMikdash. We bring karbanos. We say the right words. But what do our hands look like? Ki yadechem damim aleu. Your hands are full of blood. You pray with those hands? You raise them in tefillah? You mistreat others with the same hands you lift before Hashem? You're missing the point. This is the heart of the Haftorah. And it's hard. We think religiosity will save us. That karbanos, or today davening, halachic observance, from appearances, will protect us. But Hashem says no. Being the nation of Hashem means caring for His people. And if you don't, if you exploit, ignore, hurt, or abandon others, if you turn your back on justice, on tzedakah, on compassion, then your prayers are empty. Your rituals are just noise. Ki lo echbots bedimchem. I don't want your sacrifices. Gam ki sarbu tefila eneni shomea. Even if you say many prayers, I'm not listening. Hashem is not being cruel. He is being clear. There is no workaround. You cannot sacrifice your way out of cruelty. You cannot daven your way out of injustice. You cannot put blood on your hands and then raise them to heaven. This is not a complicated message, but it is terrifying because it is so simple. And yet, astonishingly, Yeshayahu does not leave us there. Because just when the Haftorah feels its harshest, when the tone is at its most despairing, the mood changes. Suddenly, there is teshuvah. Suddenly, there is healing. Suddenly, Hashem is inviting. L'chuna v'nivakcha, yomar Hashem. Come, let us reason together, says Hashem. Im yihyu chateichem kashanim kashel agelbinu. Though your sins are like scarlet, they can become white as snow. It's breathtaking. The Haftorah keeps on swinging between devastation and hope. On one hand, your hands are full of blood. On the other, come talk to me. I want to fix this with you. On one hand, you're no better than Sodom. On the other, you can live the good life. Just choose it. This is not a contradiction. It's the truest picture of our relationship with Hashem. Hashem loves us and is waiting. And so the message is this. If it sounds too simple, like just live with integrity and you'll be okay, it's because it is that simple. Not easy, but simple. You can turn this around. You don't need to be perfect. You just need to start living like you're Hashem's nation. Like His children matter to you. Like justice and tzedakah are the way you behave. And this is the last line of our Haftorah. Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh v'shaveha b'tzedakah. Tzion shall be redeemed through justice and her returnees through righteousness. These are not just beautiful words. It's the key. Redemption will not come through ritual alone. It will come through mishpat and tzedakah, through honesty, integrity, compassion, acceptance, and kindness. That's how we fix this. That's how we come home. So as we walk through these heavy days leading up to Tisha B'Av, the message could not be clearer. Don't just fast. Don't just mourn. Look around. Look within. Clean your hands. Open your heart, see the people around you, and listen closely, because Hashem is still saying this to us. You can come home. I want you, and I want you to live like you are mine. And so we come to the end of this painful and soaring Haftorah. It's not just an early warning system, though it is that. It's not just an explanation for why the Chorban happened. Even though it gives us that too, it's more than that. It's a blueprint, a map, a voice saying, here is how to come home. Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh v'shaveha b'tzedakah. Tzion shall be redeemed through justice and her returnees through righteousness. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed through corruption, injustice, and cruelty. And the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt through kindness, through honesty, through compassion. That is our Haftorah. Again and again, it swings between devastation and hope. As Hashem shows us again and again, yes, I see your mistakes, but I see you. I see how far you've fallen, and I still know how high you can rise. We are not just mourning a loss. We are being taught how to rebuild. And if we live this way, if we build homes and families and schools and shuls and relationships and communities and worlds that run on mishpat and tzedakah, kindness, understanding, compassion, and love, then we are not just waiting for the Beis HaMikdash to return. We are rebuilding it. Thank you for learning together.